You're listening to the Third Degree Environmental and Social Justice Radio here on 2SER 107.3. I'm James Hitchcock.
So the year is 2003 and you're a 25-year-old woman living in Afghanistan. And you, like many people, have seen friends and family get injured or killed as a result of the violence perpetuated by men with guns, you know, pre and post the foreign occupation of Afghanistan. And you're standing in what is called the Loya Jirga, which is essentially a national assembly of people, which was to discuss the proposed Afghan constitution. It is meant to be a new start, a step towards progress. But you look around and you see the same faces, the same men who have brought violence and conflict to your home, settling themselves into cushy seats and positions of power. The microphone is in front of you. What do you say? Well, Malala Joya, a young women's rights activist from the Farah province in western Afghanistan, she told it how it was. She accused those around her of being criminals responsible for turning her country into a nucleus for war, and that history will never forgive them. And this is the response she got. She was thrown out, but by then her words had already captured the imagination of the Afghan people. She was later elected to parliament and thrown out again, and she has survived no less than 6 assassination attempts and works relentlessly promoting the self-determination of the Afghan people. She is author of the book Raising My Voice, an autobiography, and has been in Australia this week talking at events organised by the Stop the War Coalition and Socialist Alternative. I caught up with her earlier this week and started by asking her, well, what I guess many of us would be thinking, which is, how do you even start to describe the situation in Afghanistan to people here in Australia?
Now, like an open secret for justice-loving, peace-loving people of U.S. and Australia around the world, because they also fed up with this 10 years of the so-called war on terror. As 10 years ago, U.S. and NATO invaded my country under the name of fake banners of human rights and democracy. But unfortunately, they pushed us from the frying pan into the fire, because they replaced Taliban with the fundamentalist warlords who are mentally same like Taliban, only physically has been changed. And in this 10 years, they continue to their fascism, and that's why today Afghanistan is a safe haven for the terrorists. And also in this 10 years of occupation, U.S. and NATO, they have changed Afghanistan to the center of the drug in the world. And since the 2001, 4,400% opium increased. And in my opinion, opium is even dangerous, more dangerous than Al-Qaeda and terrorism. And the modern war destroys and spoils the life of innocent poor Afghans. Around 2 million out of 13 million Afghans population are addicted, and most of them are women and children. And this 10 years of occupation, there's official statistics that over $65 billion Karzai's regime, this puppet corrupt mafia regime, received from the so-called international community, Western governments. But most of these money have been looted by these warlords, drug lords, and also national and international corrupt NGOs. Even indirectly went to the pocket of the Taliban. As today, Afghanistan is the second most corrupt country in the world. There is official report. And Australia government, this 10 years of occupation, unfortunately, they followed the wrong policy of the U.S. While they could act independently. And Australia government support some criminal warlords like Mutila Khan in Uruzgan province, where you have troops. And he is receiving 340 $1,000 per month from Australia government to U.S. government and other Western governments. In fact, Australia government, U.S. and these other governments, they are wasting not only the blood of the soldier, their taxpayer money too. And also, in this 10 years of occupation, tens of thousands of innocent civilians have been killed by these drone attacks and massacres. And most of them was women and children. Even used the white phosphorus cluster bomb and also bombing our wedding parties. As recently in Kandahar province, that 16 civilians have been killed by a cruel soldier, American soldier, and now they are going that to bring him to court. Or there's many media hype that they say that they will prosecute that soldier. But it is meaningless for Afghan people, because as long as the troops will be there, these occupation forces, these massacres and these other atrocities and brutalities against our people will increase and will get more. For example, in my own province, in Far province, American troops, they did bomb 140 civilians in one day have been killed. They did massacre. Even used white phosphorus. Most of the women and children was. In Kunduz province, their German troops, they did bomb, and 140 civilians in one day have been killed, and they did massacre. And countless massacres like this, and now our people knows that wherever U.S. goes, it only brings destruction, death, pain, and tragedies. And my people fed up from this occupation. Even they are making fun with the dead bodies of Afghans. And when recently they burned the Holy Quran, the U.S. officials, they argued that burning Quran is not in the army's ethics. But urinating corpses, cutting body parts, and killing innocent men and women and children is. And many other examples like this that our people fed up from this occupation. And Australian justice-loving people should know them, should understand them, that democracy never come by these military invasion, by barrel of the gun, by doing massacres, or by war, criminal war. And this disgusting war must be ended as soon as possible is better, because day by day they support more the enemies of Afghan people. As much they get more support, more they become more powerful. And it is more easier for them to eliminate democratic-minded, justice-loving forces, intellectuals, parties that we have in Afghanistan.
You talked there about, you know, why, or the narrative of why we are told in the West that, you know, the Australian and US military is in Afghanistan. And I guess, you know, initially it was, you know, let's get the bad guys, let's have revenge for 9/11. And that slowly morphed into let's bring democracy and peace and let's liberate the women of Afghanistan, you know, let's help them. And I guess listening to you right now, it's clear that, you know, neither of those things have really happened. So what are the other reasons that, you know, our military is there, you know, and why aren't they leaving if they're not achieving these things that they tell us they're there to achieve?
Yeah, you know, a catastrophic situation of women was a very good excuse for U.S. and NATO to occupy our country. And they occupied Afghanistan for their own regional, economic, political, and military interest. And through Afghanistan, they can control other Asian powers and will have very easily access to the gas and oil of the Central Asian republics. And also, they have changed Afghanistan to the center of the drugs that hundreds of billions of dollars they receive through dirty business of opium every year, from opium industry. And also that there they found rich mines that we have in Afghanistan, like pure uranium and lithium, etc., that they are looting still as the system is corrupt. And many other examples, especially because of geopolitical location of Afghanistan, they have in trust and they are making and expanding day by day their military bases more. And it's still disaster situation of the woman is a very good excuse for them to justify their criminal war, this awful and illegal occupation. And this 10 years, they shed the blood of tens of thousands of innocent civilians, and most of the women and children. But now the U.S. officials confess and tell publicly to our people that Taliban are not their enemies. And they are true, because Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, and all these other terrorists, the warlords, they're all created, nourished by CIA and other Western governments since the Cold War. And also the 10 years of occupation, even indirectly, they supported Taliban through ISI of Pakistan. And it is not new news for Afghan people that now they invite terrorist Taliban, misogynist Taliban, to join this puppet corrupt mafia regime. And they just want to make complete the circle of warlordism, drug lordism, terrorism in Afghanistan, to make more powerful this corrupt mafia regime. And even they are saying that we will leave Afghanistan by mid of 2014, which is a big lie, I believe, because from another hand, they are talking about U.S. permanent military bases in Afghanistan. They are going to make legalize this military bases. And my point of view, in a country which has military bases, which has no independence, they have talking about like democracy, women rights, human rights is just like a painful joke. And also they have countless secret military bases in different parts of Afghanistan. Maybe a few thousands of the troops they will withdraw to put dust in the eyes of justice-loving people of Australia, U.S., around the world, especially election is coming in U.S. Their bases will be there and their puppet regime will be in power, will remain there and continue to their fascism. And also they are telling this propaganda, if we leave Afghanistan, the civil war will happen. But nobody is talking about today's civil war, as our people, they are squashed between three enemies, warlords, Taliban, occupation forces. In the Taliban time, we had one enemy, but this 10 years, we faced three enemies. And also history shows that only the nation can liberate themselves. And they must let Afghan that decide their own future, or in another word, it is self-determination. Anyway, we fed up from this occupation. If they honestly leave Afghanistan, the backbone of the fundamentalists, the warlords in Taliban will break, and they will not get more powerful. They will not receive dollar in power, and to be easier for them to eliminate democratic-minded people. And if they leave Afghanistan, my people, despite they are wounded, they are tired, they are hopeless of all kind of the war, but they will fight steadfastly till the end against these terrorists because of the hatred they have for them. But unfortunately, they imposed on Afghan people. They continue more to their fascism, and they are great obstacles for true democratic-minded elements of Afghanistan. I think alone my life story is enough that to know about mockery of democracy and mockery of war on terror in Afghanistan. For example, in the Taliban time, I was activist that underground teacher with burqa. It was risky. But now, this 10 years, despite having burqa bodyguard, not safe, changing their places, and want to eliminate me. And they eliminated many democratic-minded activists, men and women, and many of them are still there underground. And they are the one who should be supported that. And only independent, free, democratic-minded pro-human rights, women rights forces can bring values like peace, democracy, justice. And this only possible through people's determination and struggle. And when we want the withdrawal of the troops, but no question we need the helping hand of the justice-loving people, peace-loving organization, anti-war movements, honest politicians around the world, that they must not forget us. And, you know, when you compare that what they did in Afghanistan, the 10 years, for example, the some humanitarian projects that they have, especially for the women, it is just for the justification of their occupation. But millions of Afghans, by presence of tens of thousands of troops, even in Kabul, they don't have security. They suffer from injustice, insecurity, corruption, joblessness. As they pushed us from the frying pan into the fire, and now the fire is blazing more than ever.
And you're listening to the Third Degree Environmental and Social Justice Show here on 2SER 107.3. And if you have just joined us, our guest this week is Malalai Joya, Afghan women's rights activist and parliamentarian. And she's in Australia this week to give public talks about her struggle, the struggle of the Afghan people for their self-determination. So, you know, doing research for this interview before talking to Malalai, I watched the number of interviews she'd given before, and it kind of struck me the way, I guess, journalists a number of times sort of questioned whether she really knew the reality of what was going on in Afghanistan, and sort of insisting that women must be better off. And this even happened, you know, on the ABC on Late Line. Emma Alberici was really questioning her, saying, you know, they must be better off, you know, now that the American Australian troops have come there. And so I kind of put, you know, this question, this point to her. You know, it seems like, you know, your views on the struggle of women in Afghanistan sort of are being questioned by Westerners, you know, like me, who, you know, our only understanding of the country, what's going on there, comes from Google, you know, the internet. And, like, I guess, you know, how does it make you feel coming here and talking to people, and, you know, how do you respond?
Yeah, you know, there is two kind of people. We can say that when they are talking about women rights and the situation of the woman, that, for example, they say or they believe that situation of women got better. This is one kind of woman who unfortunately has been deceived, men and women, because the power of Afghanistan is not only military invasion. This is the propaganda of war too. Through mainstream media, they are putting dust in the eyes of them and deceiving them, just showing some schools that girls can go to school and women have access to the job, or they show this disgusting mafia parliament that we have, that some, you know, those women who have links with the warlords and this mafia government, puppet regime, they are in power and just deceiving them through this way. And another part of the woman, another kind of woman, they are pro-war and pro-occupation women that who just support this occupation and awful criminal war. And, of course, huge difference between this another part of the woman that who get deceived. For example, last night, the journalist Emma was saying that as a positive example in the life of the woman, that their life expectancy of, was 45 years, but now is more than 60. It is a big lie. Unfortunately, I didn't catch what she was saying, because many things in my mind, is coming that to share with justice-loving Australian people, U.S. people around the world. I want to say that situation of the life expectancy, even there is many official report that even 44 years for the woman, especially for the woman, because the decades of the war, women and children was the most and prime victims. And this 10 years of occupation, violence is like, such as rape, kidnapping, throwing acids on the face of the girls, and one going to school, cutting of hands and nose and toes of women, and many other violences, inhuman violences, increasing rapidly, even historical. For example, in Ghor province, a 22-year-old woman just recently hanged to death after facing domestic violence. Or a man asked his wife to death by chopping off her fingers and toes. Or shocking news like about Sahar Gol, that 15-year-old girl who locked up in a windowless room and her nails and hair pulled out and the big chunks of the flesh on her body had been cut out with pliers. Or another shocking news about women just recently happened. For example, Gulnaz, a 21-year-old young woman that was raped by a relative. When she complained, the government accused her of adultery and sentenced her to 12 years to be in the jail, while the rapist is sentenced to 3 years. And when a foreign journalist publicized, gave report this news to the people around the board, then the government, the court put a condition before of her that if you marry the rapist, you will U.S. sentence will reduce to 3 years. And while this Gulnaz even birthed a baby in the jail because she got pregnant after get raped. But unfortunately, that still U.S. and NATO, they misuse even from the miseries of the woman. For example, they gave report about the shocking news, what happened with Bibi Aisha, that Time magazine gave report that while Bibi Aisha's nose and ear cut off by her cruel husband, who was Talib, they gave report, the title says that if the troops leave, what will happen to the woman? But on behalf of my people, especially suffering women of Afghanistan, I want to say that it was better if they changed the title. They wrote, what is happening to the woman while we are in Afghanistan? Anyway, but activist women, a lot of them has been killed, and still many of them under risk, and they are underground. This disgusting burqa giving life and safety to millions of Afghan women. And even WikiLeaks exposed that they, what I have been saying this decade of the war, that the 10 years of the war, that they are bringing governmental women to the Western countries with beautiful clothes and perfect English, and they're in power, just mouthpiece of this government, and they're pro-war, pro-occupation, to deceiving people of the West and good Western peoples. But it is my strong belief that one day women of our country, they will rise and they will fight for their own rights against them, you know, these warlords, Taliban, and this criminal regime, and of course against occupation as well, as day by day resistance of people getting more. Now in Afghanistan, there is two kind of resistances going on. One is there is a reactionary resistance of the Taliban that always mainstream media try to make something out of nothing. This Western government's trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. And but never they gave report about the resistance of ordinary Afghan people, students of the universities, democratic-minded parties that organize demonstrations like Solidarity Party of Afghanistan. You can see their websites that how brave they are in these brave young men, women, the organized demonstrations. Thousands of people, hundreds of people joined their demonstrations against the occupation and against the warlords, against the dictatorial regime of Iran, who is like just like Hitler for Afghans, and also against the interfering of that corrupt puppet regime of Pakistan, that through ISI they support the Taliban and they do suicide bombs. But these kind of resistance that people in Democrat parties and students of universities that they do, never they give report. Mm. For example, in Far province, that 150 civilians have been killed. One student of the university in Kabul who was from Farah. 19 members of his family in one day have been killed in this massacre. When the students of university in Kabul, they got that shocking news, all come in the streets and they were raising their voice against this massacre, this cruel war. But they never gave report such kind of resistance to justice-loving people of the world, which is a big source of hope for the future.
So let's talk about what you're touching on there, the part of the story that we don't hear here in Australia or the West. The resistance of people, you know, in the Farah region in Western Afghanistan, where you're from, the young people organizing protests on the street, resisting the Taliban, the warlords, the government, and the foreign troops. You know, how do they do this? How do you do this? How do you maintain hope through everything that has happened?
Yes, in this catastrophic situation, not only regarding Farah people, that one of the faraway provinces that almost the government did nothing. And around Afghanistan nowadays, in front of the people, are not only democratic-minded people, ordinary Afghan people, too, men and women, they have two choices. They have to do a struggle, come on the streets, do demonstrations, and to be outspoken, raise their voice, and do not afraid, and do this kind of resistance, or sit silent, do compromise. But we are lucky, we are happy that our people do not sit silent, and we have proudful history that we never accept occupation. And now it's like open secret for our people that has been clear that they are there for their own dirty agendas as they occupied Afghanistan. Nowadays, publicly, they are talking about a strategic agreement with U.S., which is slavery of Afghanistan. And sometimes Karzai tell to the people it will have, we will have condition, but with condition or without condition, our people hate such agreements. It proves the slavery of Afghanistan and our independence is at risk. And even they push Afghanistan more toward dark ages. Even publicly, these warlords is talking about Balkanization of Afghanistan. I mean that about federalism. Federalism means balkanization and division of Afghanistan. And many other challenges, risks that we are facing, and we are really worried about the future of our country. So the only way in front of our people that to struggle and get more united with each other, that's why responsibility of democratic-minded forces and activists is very important. That's why I'm not leaving Afghanistan. I'm one of those that I know all these risks. As recently also they did assassination attempts that two of my bodyguards brutally have been injured as attacked my office in Far province and receiving death threats like this. But we are there that to build our country, and we believe that women rights, human rights, these values never come by foreign forces, by military invasion. And also that history shows that only the nation can liberate themselves. And this glorious uprising happened in Middle East countries, Arab countries, against these dictators. It really had a huge positive impact and hope, gave hopes to the people of Afghanistan. But now in Afghanistan, it takes a little time that to people to do this such uprising, because now they are facing many other challenges. They even ready to sell their babies for only $10. Just last week, a couple in the mosque, a family came, a couple, and they had three children and was crying and was announcing to the people, anybody ready to feed them, we are giving them free for them. And this is the reality of Afghanistan. People just, they think about their empty stomach, how to feed their children's stomach and many other problems that they are facing. And most of people are not educated. That's why my message always to justice-loving people around the world, that educationally please empower our people. This is the key for the catastrophic situation, for the bright future of Afghanistan. This half of population, if they have education, they know about their own identity, or they know about their own rights. When they face violences, these inhuman acts, they never kill themselves or get disappointed. They will exchange to brave and extraordinary activists. So let's support them through this way. We wished it was not military invasion. It was invasion of schools, clinics, hospitals. And I'm sure justice-loving people of these countries, if they know the truth, if they know the reality of the so-called war on terror, which is war crime, I'm sure they will not sit silent. And their government, these wrong politicians, will face with the resistance of these ordinary people of U.S. around the world, these justice-loving people and activists of U.S. But unfortunately, it's still deceiving them, but we hope that they will understand this and not allow their government to waste their taxpayer money anymore and the blood of their soldiers, and join their hands with democratic-minded activists of Afghanistan and some parties that we have, that they are the one who should be support for the bright future. And we are there, even if it will cost our life, but we are sure one day we will have peace and justice in Afghanistan. So please don't leave us alone and support us and put pressure on your government to stop this war.
Thanks for being here today, Malala. I know it must be hard to talk about, you know, a lot of these issues and to come and talk in English for an extended period of time. So thanks for, coming and sharing your insights into what's going on,
Thank you so much. You know, we have a lot to share, but sometimes just some supporter like you that who have radios and Tribune in Afghanistan, almost we lost all Tribunes. But when someone like you against war and these kind of Democrat journalists to interview, as we know that more people, the message go to more good people. Especially someone like me coming from Afghanistan, I hear this pull of the shocking news, want to share everything with justice loving here that never they hear from their media. And thanks for this interview. And say to the people that we don't fear death, we fear political silence against injustice. Please raise your voice and join your hands with us.
And that was Malalai Joya, women's rights activist, parliamentarian in Afghanistan, and she's author of the book Raising My Voice. She's been in Australia to talk at a number of public events hosted by the Socialist Alternative and the Stop the War Coalition. And to find out more about her work, you can visit her website, Malalai Joya, that is MalalaiJoya. And it's been 11 years since the Australian military joined the US and other NATO forces in occupying Afghanistan. It seems like a lifetime, really, doesn't it? And the show has been The Third Degree. You're on 2SER 107.3. I'm James Hitchcock, and stay tuned for The Daily, coming up next. ¶¶